This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there is no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Colin.
Jay.
And that's it. I don't know why I was expecting more for some reason. On the line with us, we have Corbett. Corbett, where are you calling from tonight?
Somerville, South Carolina.
South Carolina. What's on your mind tonight, Corbett?
Well, I met Jay down in at an Acapulco, and the more I got to know him, the more I realized he has all the qualities that fit the community that I tend to gravitate to, and that's the bear community.
Yeah, I asked Corbett to call in because he told me about the bear community. He's like, you ever hear of this bear community? I'm like, no, what is it? And I was like, man, that's awesome.
Spelled like the animal bear?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Well, I'll let Corbett explain.
All right. So back in like 2017, I was listening to the Tom Woods show.
Because
It was around 2015 that I knew something was wrong in the world. Like, I literally would have to turn my back when I ate lunch. I worked for the Boeing company. I used to build airplanes. And I would go into lunchroom and CNN would be on the TV and I'd just turn my back because the Chiron would just irritate me. And I knew something was wrong in the world.
What's the Chiron? What's that?
So I started. That's the little ticker underneath. You know, that feeds you all kinds of like information while the talking heads are talking.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I never knew that word.
Okay, they call it a Chiron, I believe.
Cool.
Anyways, so to make a long story short, I started understanding libertarianism. I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head. Who was first, Jay Newton. No. Pete Quinones? Do you know whoever Pete Quinones?
Yeah, I know who Peter Quinones is. He now calls himself a post-libertarian, but he's probably libertarian when you heard his interview.
Well, I was listening to him when he wasn't even using his name.
Oh.
He wasn't using his name because I think he still had a job and he was afraid of blowback. So anyway, to make a long story short, he turned me on to Tom Woods. I started listening to Tom Woods. Well, the comedian Owen Benjamin at the time was living in Saranac Lake, New York. And so Tom Woods interviewed Owen Benjamin. And I never heard of the guy. But his interview just wrong, so true. Like, I just love the way the guy was speaking. I thought that he was genuine, and you know, he was standing up for a lot of things that I was against. And shortly thereafter, I wouldn't say he was an A-list comedian, he was a B-list comedian, but he was highly sought after in the business. He'd been there like 16 years. He stood up against the trans child agenda. And they blackballed him. They kicked him out of everything. Like, took away all his ways of making a living. So he was kicked out of CAA, kicked out of Hollywood. He could no longer tour because any venue that he called, they would say, yeah, sure. He'd sell tickets, and in the last minute, they'd cancel on him. And so he finally figured out that the only places he could do comedy on the road in order to make a living for his family was libraries and people's personal property, private property. So I think around 2018, I started following the guy. And make a long story short, he exuded a lot of the things that he now doesn't like victim consciousness. Mm-hmm. He was extremely angry. He still was under the Muslim spell. He was very angry at the small hats. And I don't know what else, you know, what I can say on this channel, so I'll just be kind of cryptic. So, but I watched this guy, and I just knew that he was trying to find the truth. And he was highly intelligent and extremely funny.
Mm-hmm.
And so, over time, I watched him get better and better and better, and he grew a family of four young sons, and he moved from Saranac Lake to Washington near Gig Harbor. And then when COVID hit and he couldn't stand all the people wearing masks and he didn't want to fight any longer, he moved to North Idaho, and that's where he lives now.
Hmm.
And ever since then, he's been running a podcast. And it got kicked off of all kinds of platforms. It's been banned in all kinds of places. He was kicked off of Patreon, not for something he did on Patreon, but for something he did off of Patreon. And so it was a huge wake-up call to me, just how much control the powers that be have
What's his podcast called?
What is it called? So his website where it's shown is called Unbearables. No, it's not. It's called Unauthorized TV.
Okay.
There's a gentleman, you know who Vox Day is?
No, I don't know who that is. Another podcaster.
Vox Day, yeah, he's a podcaster and intellectual.
Okay.
He lives in, I think, Italy or Spain. I think he lives in Italy. He runs Castellia House and Arcaven Comics. And between Owen and Vox Day, they came up with the idea that, like, literally, if you don't own it, you don't control it. So what they decided was, well, it's only fair. YouTube can kick me off. Patreon can kick me off. All these, you know, PayPal kicks you off. So what they realized was we need to create our own. And so... So over time, they created their own, they maintain their own servers, and that's where all of the shows are found. Now, he's not opposed to putting out his content for free because some people can't afford $5 a month, let's say, for example. But we call it feeding the bear. You know, I've always been a member of Unauthorized TV for years. However, the powers of be still step in, and guess what? They kick them off their payment processor.
Yep.
So I think it's been about 2 years, and next thing you know, he gets kicked off his payment processor. And what I've noticed and what Owen has noticed is over the years that when he starts getting banned in certain places or his payment processor gets kicked off, some operation is coming.
You mean like nationwide?
Because he's speaking about something related to what they're about to do?
Maybe. Yeah. So like the last time he got kicked off. So back in 2019, December of 2019, they were talking about this huge purge that they were going to do on YouTube. Right? So they were going to purge all these channels on YouTube. They literally only kicked him off of YouTube because he was growing exponentially and he was making really good income because he had so many people following him and donating to his.
And they've actually kicked a whole bunch of truth tellers off of YouTube or demonetized.
I don't know how many they did in December, but he was the only one that I ever saw.
Okay, but I mean, just right along, they've been going and purging. You know, I mean, Jeff Berwick got kicked off.
That's been going on for a long time. You know, it's really funny. So he got kicked off in December. So I think it was in anticipation of what was coming. In March. Okay. So we'll just leave it at that. What's his name? The guy that owns the bar.
Max Egan.
Max Egan. So Max Egan, I'd never heard of the guy. He was still on YouTube. In the first week of March, when they pulled the operation, you know, the 2 weeks to, you know, surrender your will or whatever they want to call it. He was doing a walk in Australia talking about, like, this is it. You know, if you don't push back now, they're going to take everything, blah, 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 blah. And I, and shortly after that, he was kicked off. And then I started trying to follow him more. And he, next thing I know, he was exiled to, he self-exiled to Mexico. So when I was down there, I remember the first night, Saturday night, when it was, I think it was the opening of the bar, I went up to him and introduced myself and said hello and told him, I said, you know that podcast you did in Australia? You're doing a walk and talk? And he goes, well, not really, because I do a lot of walk and talk. I said, well, it was in the first week of COVID. Let me tell you something. You scared the holy living crap out of me, because I wasn't that quite aware. It just how nefarious some groups and entities are.
Yeah, Max Egan's done a good job waking people up, and he's a sweetheart, Max Egan. What just such a nice guy, so polite to everybody. We did a little skit, me, him, and my daughter at his bar.
Okay.
And I got like three or four takes, and it was pretty funny. The skit went, Max walks up to the table. He says, "All right, folks, your bill is $21 and somebody pulls out some dollar bills to pay the bill, and my 4-year-old daughter goes, "That's not money. This is money." And she opens up a roll of the 1-10 silver dimes, and she dumps them out on the table. And then she grabs a dollar bill and says, "This is paper," and she rips it up.
Wow. You videotaped that?
Yeah, we videotaped. We took like three takes, and Max was really cool about it. Because like the first couple of takes, Cypress was really shy. When Max walked up, she wouldn't do it. And because he's kind of a stranger.
You know, the money really is about the most important thing here, and that's what they're going to go after to control people. And, you know, if you just start thinking about it, it's like, okay, they could do this, they could kick you off of that, they could do that, they could do that. And it always is going to always boil back down to the money and the banking
system.
Canadian
truckers, like they got their money frozen.
Exactly.
They got their bank accounts frozen.
And what's kind of amazing is our community here in New Hampshire understands like how important alternatives are, and having alternative marketplaces and money and things like that, so we don't have to rely on those systems. I mean, when they were doing things during COVID, like killing off herds of animals and stuff like that, and saying you can't go to this store and can't go to that store, we were able to do all the things that, you know, people normally need to do because we don't rely on their systems.
Today, how nice it was that there was a restaurant in Keene called Pho Keen Great that was open in defiance of the mask orders, and it was a place for us to go the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, that warms my heart every time I think about that.
Yeah, we were actually the freest people in the world, so to speak, you know. And
in the Western world.
Yeah, exactly. But the alternatives is really the thing that people need to be pushing. I mean, if you care about freedom and everything, not like speaking to you right now, but just to anybody who's listening, if you care about that, you need to like look into the alternatives and promote them as much as you can. And speaking of the silver and stuff, they love that down there in Mexico, silver and the gold and gold backs. And I take a bunch down with me and I spend them while I'm down there. Not so much with locals, but more and more the locals are starting to get onto it, to where I had another bar I was going to where I was paying for all my drinks and goldbacks in Mexico. So
yeah, we were able to actually spend some goldbacks. So there was a little place that I bought fruit from, like we bought, you know, the place that had the tortilla machine. That was right there on the main drag in Acapulco.
Oh, right, like just a block from where you were staying.
Yeah, so,
yep, I know.
So the second time I went in there, I'm like, can I pay with silver? Can I pay with these?
How did you communicate with them? Those people didn't speak any English.
And then she was like, no, and we were using the phone a little bit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then the next time I walked, so I just gave her a piece of silver. Yep. And then the next time I went in there, she was basically, you know, told me the pesos, and then she said, or three of those silver things.
Nice.
Or three of the coins. So I gave her three coins and a gold back,
That was pretty cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah. But most people don't know, Mexico was one of the last countries to pull silver out of the coins. I forget what year it was, but they had a silver coin much later than any other country did. And there's a number one. Yeah, and they're the number one producer of silver in the world, and they have towns dedicated to silver smithing, Taxco, and I forget what the other one is, but yeah, it's a big thing down there. They like silver actually a bit more than gold.
And I said La Plata because they call money La Plata, which means silver.
That's an Argentine thing. They don't
really?
Do that in Mexico. Yeah, it was just a slang. They just say dinero or efectivo for cash.
Interesting.
But, yeah.
Well, thank you for the call, Corbett. We have another call on the line. I'm not sure who this is, but unscreen caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
It's your daddy, the evolutionary capitalist. Young Skeet.
Why did you change to daddy? Please go back to your boy. Please.
Because of Milo, yesterday's show. I felt it fitting.
Milo?
But
Milo?
Yeah, you, Milo.
No, his name's Colin.
Milo?
Yeah, this is Milo. This is Milo Yiannopoulos. No, it's Colin.
Hey, Milo.
Colin. Yeah.
Oh, hey, Colin. Sorry, you look like a Milo. So, dang, it's so much to debunk today with Jay on the show. I kind of wanted to discuss the dangerous social construct of freedom. But before that, I just needed a quick dopamine fix. Hey, Jay, guess what? I found the definition for includes in the tax code.
Can we not talk about this today? It's so boring. Please, do you have anything else on the...
Sir, how much dopamine are you on right now?
I mean, Jay's been defending this like tooth and nail, and I just
want to talk about something else, honestly. We asked Sarah from New Mexico. When Sarah from New Mexico calls in with nothing to talk about except drivers in New Mexico keep hitting homeless people on the road, we ask her, like, Sarah, please choose another topic, and then we let her on sometimes. So,
you know what I tell my kids about their bicycles?
Mm-hmm.
I am, and actually my son's really good about it, so he's got this little balance bike that he cruises around on, and he saw it in the driveway today, and he got it. And he didn't even get on it, and he walked it right over, and he goes, cars don't drive here.
Aww.
And I tell him, don't park your bike where a car can drive or it'll get ran over. And so there is a bicycle. One of my nephew's bicycles is at the house, and it's got a broken wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, that's because Ryder is my nephew's name. He left it where a car can drive on it. So he knows where cars don't drive, so that's where he puts his bicycle.
Oh.
Well, the homeless people, if my two-year-old can figure that out, you think that the homeless people might be able to figure out, you know, just to hang out where cars don't drive. But
yeah, we're always telling Sarah this.
Right, but since all the homeless drug addicts are on welfare, because it's the only way you can really be a career drug addict is to be on welfare or to be a trust funder or to be, you know, the president's son or congressman's son, it's like, but what's happening, I'm sure these homeless people are either like totally drunk or they're fentanyled out or whatever opiate
that's
they're on.
They
pass out
like,
in the road.
Are they hitting them in the road? And then I'm like, okay, then why were they in the road?
They're in New Mexico,
sidewalk.
Too. I mean, like
Albuquerque.
Just Albuquerque? Okay.
Which is basically just a liberal,
it's a terrible
cesspool.
Place.
Yeah.
Terrible, dangerous place.
Yeah, that's where the what was it, the mayor or the governor or something or somebody did you can't carry any guns.
Yeah, it was actually a nice story out of New Mexico ultimately because the people from all over showed up open carrying.
Right.
And the police of Albuquerque refused to enforce that there was going to be no more guns or at least no more open carrying. So did you think of a different topic, Skeeter?
I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, because I put you on hold because I needed you to come up with a different topic. If you just want to talk about the definition of something, no one wants to hear about that.
Just as long as Jay concedes. Concede, Jay. Give me my dopamine hit, boy. Hey, so let's talk about the dangerous social construct of freedom and how it's inconsistent with the market. And it's truly the most dangerous idea. It's more dangerous than communism itself. Believe it or not.
How many people have freedom killed?
Freedom is inconsistent with the market?
Yep. Well, I used to call myself a weak libertarian because I didn't believe in... So I believe in freedom from the idea of implementing a system that implements democracy as a way to distribute at least some of the capital throughout the society. But I don't believe in freedom from all aggression, because I think aggression is a valid strategy for the market to undertake, as long as the incentives aren't perverted. So that's what I think.
Well, how do the incentives become perverted?
What's that?
How do the incentives become perverted?
In democracy, it's so there's other things.
No, in a free market, in a like without the democracy, just in an anarchist sense. How does
an anarchist sense with freedom? It's because there's no one there to provide defend natural rights and lock in property. There's no one there, right? It has to be, number one, profitable in order for anyone to even consider undertaking defending property for somebody.
You know that defense is not aggression, right? You know that defense is not aggression, so that doesn't answer his question.
What are you talking about?
You're saying why it's moral to have aggression and it's necessary for a market, and your answer was something about defense, so that you're not really answering, you're not explaining your position.
I'm talking about why would a society defend against an act of an aggression, especially when the act of aggression increases the productivity for society. I can give a concrete example if you want. I don't really think concretely, but what was that?
Like he said, like war?
Yeah, war is, you know, like a lot of these, you know, especially, you know, real status conservatives are like, oh, we need to have another war to get the economy back
on
track.
Yeah, that's not true. That doesn't work. I mean, war is literally destroying property. So how is the net?
No, not necessarily.
Well, you're the one that
war is expensive. I admit, war is an expensive strategy, but it's not so expensive that you can't generate a profit from it.
I mean, some people are profiting.
Let me give one example.
That's what I'm always explaining to him. He's like taking a different stance than he normally does. It's stupid. He's not stupid.
The American Revolution. Am I mute? The American Revolution, right? The American Revolution was one instance where war is profitable, where you detach yourself from a bad system in order to increase productivity. And you can also do this. So I believe that
that's not the war's fault. It's not like the war made money. It was the getting this thing over with, not being taxed to death by the English, and then getting them off your backs and then moving on.
It's not about taxation. Taxation is not necessarily theft, and it isn't in your case in here. I've already proven that, and I'm going to prove it again
What's my case? I'm not paying. Well, I'm the person who pays the property taxes here, unfortunately. But other than that, I'm not paying
taxes.
Yeah, but
taxes aren't theft.
But so
domestic
what?
Taxes
what
aren't theft.
Case
I don't want to get off
about?
Track, but what was that? I don't want to get off track, but
603-283-6160. Can Skeeter ever answer a question or make any sense? I don't think so. If you can make sense, 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
USA News Update. Sweden, now formally a member of NATO. The Swedish Prime Minister traveled to Washington, D.C. Thursday to deliver the necessary paperwork for admission in a ceremony alongside Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
Fundamentally, the reason this is such a strong, powerful fit is because Sweden embodies and promotes the core values that are at the heart of NATO.
The inclusion of Sweden and Finland marks the most significant expansion of the alliance in decades. Daniel Rademer, a former congressional candidate and pro-Russian wrestler has surrendered in connection with a murder on the Las Vegas Strip. Rodimer turned himself in at the Clark County Detention Center Wednesday night following the issuance of an arrest warrant earlier in the day. Amid heavy snow and freezing temperatures, the renowned Big Bear Bald Eagles are working diligently to keep their overdue eaglets warm. The globe, captivated by the nest of Jackie and Shadow, perched high atop a tree overlooking Big Bear Lake. John Schaefer, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Control and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And I'd like to thank Chris Cohen, who's a silver level amplifier with us. That means that Chris Cohen is giving money to the amplifier program, which means that he is helping to advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. And if you'd like to learn more, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And thank you so much to Chris. And that's amps.freetalklive.com. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Colin,
and Jay.
And we have Dave Ridley calling from New Hampshire on the line. Dave, what's on your mind?
Hey, this is probably not the most important race in New Hampshire, but it sort of provides a microcosm of what it's like when you run for local office in New Hampshire, or maybe anywhere. But you guys know Russell Canning. He's a friend of the show, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So he lives here in Winchester, and he's running for, he's a Free Stater, and he's running, he's also at NH Exeter. He runs NHExeter.org. He's running for school board, and so now he's, you know, he's always avoided politics because he's like, he's considered, you know, a Christian anarchist. So he's just, his eyes are just bugging as he's having to get involved in this stuff. He can't believe it. So what happened just over the last week or two is that, so there was a Meet the Candidates event that was scheduled for a couple of days ago. And, so he's going to go then, like at the last minute, right before the Meet the Candidates event happens, there's some team decides it's not going to accept Winchester students anymore. keep the team schools aren't going to accept Winchester students anymore. it's going to go into effect in about 3 years, right? It's not pressing, but the entire town loses its mind and, they cancel the Meet the Candidates meeting so that they could have an emergency board meeting to discuss the change in policy that's going to happen in 3 years. The emergency meeting happens just 2 days before just the regular meeting, stuff they could have just talked about in the regular meeting, right? And it wipes out the candidates event. So they reschedule the candidates event for 2 days later, and then they cancel that. That gets canceled too, and they have a regular meeting today, I guess it was. And
what was the reason for the second cancellation?
Yeah, it's just like everyone's like just their chain is just the entire town's chain is being jerked. And nothing got done. They didn't even have any information at the emergency meeting. They had a little bit more information at the more recent meeting. But why would anyone want to be involved in this? I can't believe he's doing this.
Well, Jay also ran for an office, and it's one of those things that, like, libertarians don't want to have to do, but sometimes you just feel like it's better you to be doing it than some terrible Democrat in Jay's case or whoever's going to run in Russell Canning's case.
It isn't that libertarians don't want to do it. It's that people that have meaningful stuff to do don't want to run for office.
And Russell's also, like, a busy working person.
Yeah, he's got things to do. So what you have is you have a bunch of career parasites, you know, filling up all these Democrat positions everywhere.
But
mentally
are you telling
ill.
Me we don't have any, like, you know, bored libertarians in this state?
No, they're all
anything?
Very occupied.
All of them?
Do you know some bored libertarians that got nothing better to do but play video games and do drugs?
That'll be my activism for this week. I'll look up all the ones that I know are basically boring and doing nothing, and then I'll chastise them.
There you go.
Yeah.
Call them out. Put them to work.
That's what we have slacktivism for, basically. It's a signal group that I think our caller Alu started, and it's all about the people who don't really want to put in that much work, but the least they can do is, like, you know.
That's a good way I could shame people. I could actually create a couple groups and call it slackers and then just add all those people into the group, and then they'll know who they are, you know, just because I've added them into that
just
group.
Just in case you didn't know, you are a slacker. That's why you were added to this group.
And yeah, that'll be in the title.
You get a daily chastising from Colin.
Because every now and then you meet a guy who, like, creeps out to girls, for example. And, like, he doesn't know he creeps out to girls until you explain to him he creeps out to girls. And sometimes they get really upset. But I've definitely have talked to a couple of guys that creep out the girls, for example. And they're like, oh, I do that? I don't want to do that.
Yeah, thanks
like
for
they had
me.
No idea that, you know, it's like, hey, if I got a booger in my mustache, you know, please tell me. But, you know, dude, you're creeping the girls out. And he's like, give me some examples of what I can do what I'm doing to creep out the girls. So me and a couple other guys started telling this guy, you know, for example, a few things he was doing, and he stopped doing those things and he doesn't creep out the girls anymore. So
nice. So funny. So is that all you had for us today, Dave Ridley?
Well, I have something that I've been trying. I have this, like, long-term philosophy. Like, I'm going to be doing enough state activism and federal activism. I don't really have to do activism in my town, right? Like, there's no need to anger someone who lives two blocks from me when those might be the people I'm relying on when the lights go out. So I just have a policy of not doing a local activism, basically. I don't.
So you're pissing them all off in Keene, so they.
Yeah, when I lived in Woodstock, I didn't do any ambush interviews in Woodstock. When I lived in Bedford, I rarely did ambush interviews in Bedford. I just would go somewhere else. Don't fight where you live. You know?
Want them to come pitchfork
mob
at my house?
You know, this is actually a good strategy. Again, we should all organize, and what we'll do is, like, each one of us will tell the one in the next town over what to do in the next town over.
who to target.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm not sure this is a good idea for everyone to do. It's just something I've been doing. And so, you know, going to Russell's meetings and ambushes. If I were to go to Russell's meetings and ambush a bunch of interviews, that would kind of violate my policy. So what I did instead was I've just been wearing a Russell Canning sign around my neck, and it's like a sort of a sandwich board. and then a pickup litter. So I'll pick up, went to pick up litter at this event tonight. Instead of ambush interviewing people, I just picked up litter all around the site, wore a Russell Canning sign, and went home.
Nice. That's pretty good activism.
That's a good idea. You know what? I could do that, and I could add a little to that, because I've been trained. My kids, that was actually one thing I had to, like, stop my kids from doing in Mexico was picking up trash. I'm like, guys, there's so much trash, we can't pick it all up.
Hmm.
But, like, at Pork Fest, up by the kid area, they had no trash cans for, like, the first several days last year. So I would just carry a couple of, like, cellophane bags with me, and I'd give a cellophane bag to each kid, and let them pick up trash, because every time we walk around my property, if there's any trash, I make it a point to pick it up. And same thing when we go anywhere, we just kind of.
So that's where all the trash has been going that I keep dumping?
Yeah, all your seltzer cans. Yeah, we keep on picking them up.
I wasn't done with that. I just wanted it to go get flat before I drank it, you know?
If I wore a political sign and walked around my kids picking up trash at an event and had my kids like wearing these little, you know, maybe shirts or signs, that'd be pretty, you know, pretty good little attention getter. Because anytime I go around somewhere picking up trash for my kids, people can't believe that my kids actually do it. And I'm like, they just do what I do. You know, that's all they want to do. Several times we've gone to beaches and there's just like a bunch of like bottle caps and plastic bottles and cans. Yeah. And, you know, me and the kids pick them up and go throw them in the trash. And people are like, oh, my God, that's great. And then like old ladies start picking up trash, too, because the kids are and stuff. But, you know, so that's a really great idea. Dave.
Yeah. How could you be mad at it?
Right.
Yeah. Sorry. It makes me think of something talking about Mexico again. I was in a particular town. And they had some signs up, and it said, you know, please, you know, donate a little bit of money here for the, I don't know if it specifically said old ladies, but that's what I saw, old ladies who were walking around picking up the trash. And, you know, I kind of think about it, like, there's just a lot of laziness and a lot of unproductive stuff, and it's, you know, like, people who are retired, and it's like, what are you doing with your life? You're just sitting around watching TV? Like, I mean, you could be, one, going for a walk that's healthy, you could be picking up trash, and then you could be listening to a podcast or something, too. And, I mean, like, think about how much healthier your life would be, and the whole world would be, you know, if you did something like that.
Well, Dave, is that all you had for us today?
Well, I guess the other observation is it's been really nice to see how friendly the Winchester GOP has been to him and to me and to Free Staters in general in Winchester. You know, we've all been here for a long time, and just over the years, I guess we've all gotten a little bit closer. But the Republicans here, just, you know, at least the Republican Party establishment has just been really nice to us, and that's not something I Free Staters get from all Republicans. So it's just to be appreciated.
Well, what do you attribute that to?
I know why it is, but go ahead.
Yeah,
no, I don't know why it is. I don't know why.
Oh,
so I have a very good friend that lived on Burt Hill Road.
Is that Winchester?
Yeah, like basically right on his house is basically right on the other side of the mountain where Dave lives. Dave, you know where Burt Hill Road is, right?
Goes up
over the hill. So if you go out to where Route 10 is and take a right, like you're going to go down to Massachusetts, the first
but don't do it. Don't, please don't
the
go
first
down there.
Right.
Don't cross the yeah.
The first right is Burt Hill Road, and it's used to be a dirt. Well, it's actually not Burt Hill Road. You got to take that right, and then you go down and take a left, and it's Burt Hill Road. Well, anyways, that guy lived there from like the 80s, and actually he lived. He grew up kind of there, so he might have lived there. So he bought the house that I knew him at, and he sold the house. He sold the property like 5 years ago. He moved out of there, and he moved up to Unity, New Hampshire, up north. Anyways, very good friend of mine. Him and my dad were like horse trading buddies, and he basically what had happened. So in Winchester, there's a Section 8 housing there, sort of on the north end of town. Are you familiar with it?
I think I know what you're talking about. Yep. It's like an apartment. It looks pretty nice, actually, but yeah, maybe it's
it looks like townhouses. It's right off the main road.
Right. Okay. And it's like its own community. It's kind of like a little grade uphill. Well, like Winchester, like the schools, like really didn't have a problem. It was like a pretty quiet, like, community. And I'm just going off of, like, third-hand information what this guy was telling me. And basically he was like, yeah, Winchester was, like, a really, really great small town until they put in that Section 8 housing complex. And then all this, like, you know, trouble happen. Like the police are just constantly responding there. Mm-hmm. There's constant domestic violence. There was no drugs in Winchester until the Section 8 housing came in. And
this
then,
stuff is done on purpose. It's right, done on right. purpose all across the country.
Yeah. And he was really, like, one of the things that really upset this guy is he had four kids and, like, one of his kids is, like, you know, hanging out with some girl down there that's, you know, in the, they'll call it the projects, it's rural projects, New Hampshire, you know, Section 8 housing. And, that just brought a lot of stress into the town. And the Democrats were like really, really like hardcore about this. We need to have this. We need to include these, you know, poor people. And I don't know when this came in. I think it was sometime in the mid 80s or the 90s. So they're fairly modern buildings. You know, they're not that old. And that just like really drove that down pretty hard. So a lot of the old school Republicans, like, and people who remember what Winchester was, you know, before that Section 8 housing came in. And I guess it hit the town like a ton of bricks, from what I understand, because that was just one of the things. And also it made the fact that all that Section 8 housing came in, there's some kind of deal with the property taxes because they're not really collecting property taxes. Like it's like a regular normal, like house. On that Section 8 deal, I don't understand how this works. Like I said, this is third-hand information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but basically, everybody's property taxes like went up like a significant amount in Winchester as soon as like that thing got done, and it was because it was like all these services, and now they like
new
fire
truck,
and they had all these excuses to like crank up the budget, and then like, but this place wasn't really paying like towards the budget.
Yep,
it's kind of like in college towns, the taxes are really expensive because all the properties that the college owns are exempt from taxation. Even if it's a private college that makes a ton of profit, like Harvard, for example, like Massachusetts, you know, the taxes are insane there because the college owns so much of the real estate and they don't pay any taxes. But also the college like uses like 90% of the resources that are, you know, funded by the taxes. And that's like Keene, Henniker, you know, these places that, you know, Amherst, Massachusetts, that have a bunch of colleges, the property taxes are insane. But that has a lot to do with it. You start asking some of these old timers about the, especially the Republican guys, Dave, in town there about the Section 8 housing, if they remembered what that did to the community, and, you know, when it got put in and what their thoughts are, you'll get a much better response from them because, like I said, this is third hand information, but, you know, take it
for what you want. I totally believe that they're doing that kind of thing on purpose because I see this Section 8 looking stuff around New Hampshire, and I'm like, it's just weird. Like, it doesn't look like it belongs there. The specific one you're talking about,
you'll see them in towns. I mean, you'd expect it in a larger city of a certain size.
In my neighborhood,
but
the trolls made fun of me once, saying that I think I'm better than them. But there's like this Section 8 housing just down the street from me. I'm like, why is it there? Like, why is it just sat in the middle of like my kind of cute neighborhood? Like, that's kind of on purpose, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, if you're going to give people, like, cheap housing, like, they should have to have the place where nobody wants to be. It's, like, nice. It's a nice area. There could be, like, privately owned houses. I just think if you're begging to be given money, like, you should be put in a place nobody else wants to be. No one else wants to be. It's like, if you are actually disabled and people want to help you, that's one thing. But I don't think that that's what most of those people are. I walk down there. I like walk past there all the time to walk my dog there. It's where he really wants to go for some reason. So I go down there. I could take a left. It's much better if I take a left, but he always wants to go right. I go right into the Section 8 housing, and it's like just a bunch of people. They're totally fine. They're just like smoking cigarettes, sitting around smoking cigarettes. The other day I was really annoyed because I saw a girl like my age, like fit, young, nice clothes, go into one of the buildings. I was just like, what's her excuse for living here, you know? Like, and taking a walk. She obviously can walk. Can she not work, you know?
Yeah, I had a little bit of experience in Missouri at one point in time. I stayed with a friend, and he actually lived in, like, a trailer park. So I was actually in a trailer park. And he was dating this girl. And, you know, come to find out, if I start talking to him for a while, she had gotten onto Social Security disability. And she was like, you know, she was like 20 at the time. So basically she's going to be on it for the entire rest of her life, right? And what I noticed is she was like the most unpleasant person in the world. And I would talk with him about it, and we came to the conclusion that if she had to have a job, like she would have been in town somewhere. She would have been a server or something like that. She'd have to be nicer to people because you have to be nice to people when you work with them. But she doesn't have to. She just gets this check and can be as horrible of a person as she wants. And she has all day to do it, too, now. So, you know, idle hands, you know, how does that phrase go? Idle hands do the devil's work or something?
Hmm.
You know, that I see that so true all the time with people. The busier you are, the more you don't care about drama. You're like, whatever, I'm just going to ignore you and go over here and do this productive thing that I'm already doing.
You'll notice, like, the unproductive parasite class, whether they're government employees, like just look at anybody who works in a DMV. For example, right? Mm-hmm. They're the most useless people in the world. They're nasty. They're mean. And also, like, you know, the whole thing is, like, if you're someone who's
And also, it's those aren't real businesses, so they're not,
right.
There's not a productive angle to it. So it's not like, oh, if we produce this much stuff. Well, but I mean, it's not like there's, oh, if we do this job this well or produce this much stuff, we'll make more money or we'll get more money. They just have a fixed budget. So what happens is all these secondary things become important to them. It's like, well, I'm getting paid the same amount whether I do the work or I don't do the work. So can I at least have a nice chair or can I do this or blah, blah, blah? Or can I wield power over people or can I, you know?
Right. So where does a DMV employee get their dopamine hit from, right? Like the cabinet maker working in a cabinet shop gets his dopamine hit from making a really beautiful cabinet.
That somebody gives, you know, tells them right. Nice and, you know, tells them how much they like it. And then they give them money for it and, you know,
Right. So where does the bureaucrat get their dopamine hit from, you know, wielding power, like you said, generally.
Yeah.
And because they have these positions of power, because in the DMV, they love telling you no. And you can almost see, like, a lot of times, even with like a lot of your tax collectors and your mm-hmm. local town clerks, you'll start seeing this kind of stuff. So the to go on what Colin had to say is when you have a welfare system of whatever sort, you don't have to be polite.
No, not at all.
You don't have
not
to be considerate. You don't have to be likable.
You don't make friends at all.
You don't have to be valuable.
Like right. Dave was talking about making sure he doesn't annoy his neighbors and
right.
stuff. Like, he wouldn't have to think about that if he was just a welfare recipient.
And the thing is like, you know, 100 years ago, there was no welfare. So if Farmer John, lost his arm
mm-hmm.
while farming, which, you know, farming is very dangerous, especially 100 years ago, it was really dangerous. Or he got killed because, you know, the team of horses ran him over while he was logging. And, you know, Farmer John's got, you know, four kids and, you know, his wife, Jane, takes care of the kids and takes care of the house and doesn't really have, like,
I always hear about this couple, Joe and Jane. They're really infamous.
So anyways, you know, what happened is because people liked, you know, John and his wife Jane and his children because they were likable people, because they were friendly, because they were and knew they were hardworking, and also knew that Jane wasn't a drug addict, trying to work the system. The community was more than helpful to take care of John's family if John couldn't take care of his family.
Another thing, too, is the amount of help that was given was an appropriate amount. Right. So it wasn't like, something happened. So now you just get a free house or a free this. And they would want people to have some skin in the game. So it's like, you know, and I have seen this different places I've been where there's like really old people who are a little decrepit. They can't do anything and they're poor in other countries and, you know, whatever. People will give them some kind of menial job, and they might be overpaying them a little bit for it, but they are at least doing something. They are at least earning the money in a sense, you know, and they are at least getting a sense of accomplishment and helping society at the same time, you know. So when you have a smaller community, you can actually see what people really need. You know, if your neighbor's house burns down, you might be like, oh, yeah, well, he was an idiot, and he was, like, doing dumb things that burned his house down. So I'm going to help him rebuild his house, but I'm not going to rebuild the same big, giant thing that he had.
So put the meth lab right back in it.
Oh, wait. Who told you about the meth lab?
You're from Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
Thank
I have
you
a
for the
one?
Call, by no. the way, Dave Ridley. That's RidleyReport.com. You can hear more of Dave Ridley there. I didn't want to make him stay on the line. I think that was all he had to say. But I agree with all that stuff you guys are saying, and I think that this way I always go back to, if I make a city, I'm going to keep welfare out of it, and that will just, there won't be homeless people. There won't be homeless people sitting on the side of the road asking you to wash your windows and stuff whenever you come to an intersection and things like that, because they're not, they
you
won't
know
be
what?
Getting
I have
welfare.
To, I have to push back on that. So this is an interesting thing I saw in Mexico, because I travel around. Like Jay's now been down there, and he's been to at least one town. He's seen how things are in one area. But I travel around, and I go to other cities and different places. So I was last year in Morelia, and I stayed there for a month. Really like Morelia. Could go talking about that for quite some time. But while I was there, as you pull up to the intersections, you will see people doing things like cleaning the windshields or whatever. But they're doing something to earn it. So this was an interesting thing.
Okay, well,
you know these like
homeless people in America don't do that. They come up with a dirty thing and they.
I have never seen a homeless guy
that
in Manchester.
Yeah.
Come up and try to clean your windows because they're all getting welfare and they're just doing smack.
Yeah. Mm. So here's the interesting thing though. You know all those like migrant caravans and stuff like that, and how there's all these populations of people moving around. So there's now groups of people. They're passing through or staying, whatever, but they're not Mexicans. They're actually, like, from the Caribbean, and, like, sometimes they're even, like, French-speaking or something like that. It was really interesting because you would see them, and they would start going up to those same corners, but they would just have a sign saying, give me money.
Hmm.
And so it's like the Mexicans didn't like that, and, you know, they're like, we don't like these people. They're just, they're not doing anything. Meanwhile, you would actually see people. You'd see, like, a young kid and, like, maybe his older brother, and they would, like, you know, do things where they light sticks on fire and toss them and put on a show as you're waiting. Yeah, really. And so, you know, if you travel around, you'll see things like that in Mexico. It's like, man, this guy's just earned it. He just did this whole show and everything, you know. And it's like your life is a little better, you know.
Okay, but you're not pushing back on what I said, though, because, okay, forget the washing windows thing. So that really doesn't even really happen that much anymore. It's more just like people standing on the side of the road asking for quarters or whatever. But I don't think there will be homeless people in my Bonnie Dream City whenever I make commandeer an area in New Hampshire and turn it into a city where I'm not going to allow there to be any government acceptable, you know.
No, here's a better question. Not how are you going to keep the homeless people out. How are you going
to
keep...
I don't have to keep them out. They just won't want to come because there won't be welfare.
How are you going to keep out the people who are going to want to promote that kind of lifestyle? Like, give those people stuff to make them come there.
Maybe you have a constitution where the constitution says that you can't, that these particular rights are secured to life, liberty, and property, so you can't tax people to make them pay for the welfare situation.
Yeah.
Then you got to be able to force the constitution, so you got to give it teeth. How do we arm the constitution?
Everybody who wants to be there will have to have their own business and property to take care of and have something to do. I don't know how I'm going to enforce it. I haven't thought about it that far ahead, but without welfare, there aren't going to be
people. One time a cop was taking my constitutional rights, and this piece of paper flew in from the air and, like, tackled him and made him stop.
Oh, a constitution. That's what that was.
Yeah.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.